The book of Acts, please. The book of Acts, chapter number 11. The book of Acts and chapter number 11. The book of Acts, chapter 11, verse number 19. We'll stand together while we read this scripture. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Cretans, preaching the word, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Father, once again, we come to you to this important hour, this time to preach the Word of God. Help me to honor you and be a blessing to this church. Thank you for this opportunity. I feel unworthy. Thank you for this opportunity to stand here in this place. I don't take it for granted. I pray that you would help me tonight, empower me to preach the Word of God, and may it be a help and a blessing. Help us to take it into our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you, I guess, just a simple titled message tonight on the local church, the local church. And so what we're reading about here in the text is the church of Antioch and how it came to be established. In verse 23, the Bible actually tells us that this church is an example of the grace of God. The Bible says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad. And so he's talking about this church and the example of the grace of God. And in verse number 19, 20, and 21, the Bible tells us some things about the local church in Antioch and how that it was formed, how that it came together, how that it was born. And it says in verse number 19, it's talking about now they which were scattered abroad upon persecution that arose about Stephen. You know, God allows things to happen a lot of times, trials and difficulties. And this is talking about the persecution that Stephen and how that there was a scattering. And the Bible tells us that in verse number 20, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Cretans, preaching the Lord Jesus. And verse 21 says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And so one of the things that stands out to me about the establishing of this local church was Spirit-filled preaching. And there is a power of God that works in Spirit-filled preaching. You stop and think about this wonderful nation that you and I have a privilege to live in. And I'm thankful that down through the years of history, especially Baptist history, our forefathers and men of God that came to this country preaching the Word of God and how that it was established. There was a time in this nation that our government would not move without opening the Scriptures and trying to find a basis founded in the Word of God about their decisions. I'm not saying that every decision, but there was a time that the Word of God found its place in our government, and it found its place in the school systems, where it was at one time read and honored. And I'm thankful for the power of the preaching of the Word of God. And you think about all the number of churches that God has birthed and started throughout this nation. And I'm thankful to be a part of this nation. I am ashamed for the direction, but we have sinned with a high hand before a holy God. And we are certainly faced and facing the judgment of God upon our land. And because it's what we have had here, and we have turned our back on it. But I see that this preaching of the Word of God, this Spirit-filled preaching, has been a great power in establishing this church. Faith in the gospel. Look at verse 21. It says, "And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." So through the power of this preaching, that Word of God affected many people, many people's lives. And I'm not being critical of things, because we handle things much in the same way. But when you read about the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the apostles, they would just preach the Word of God and just move on their journey. And the Word of God would take effect. They didn't necessarily a lot of times give what we call formal invitations. I do at my church. I think, as I've read, that basically started somewhere around the year 1800, where we started calling sinners, and there would be mourners' bench where we would invite sinners up to mourn and to weep over their sins. And so this preaching has had an effect, produced faith in the gospel. Verse 23, we also see a great characteristic of this church is in steadfast perseverance. Look at verse 23. The Bible says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." So even back in the early church, there was an exhortation to the new converts that they were to stay with God, and that with a purpose of heart. That seems to be something that we are getting away from today. And I would say this to you young people, that if you've been saved by the grace of God, then purpose in your heart to stay with the local church. I don't mean just off at some perverted place that calls itself a church, but I mean a church like this church and many, many what we would call sister churches of like faith in the same way. Purpose in your heart, no matter what friends you have, or what families that try to pull you away, Just nail it down, saying, I'm staying with God's Word. I'm staying with the old-time way. I'm staying with the example that the saints of God have lived before me, and they've established this path. And so I see that characteristic. Then in verses 24, 25, 26, look at it. It says, for he was a good man, talking about Barnabas, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Much people was added unto the Lord. And then Barnabas, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And so what I see here is a characteristic of submission to leadership. The men of God came in and preached and taught, and those disciples didn't sit with a critical attitude. They didn't sit with their arms crossed or stiffen up their heart, but they were hungry for truth. And they yielded with a spirit of submission to these men of God who were their spiritual leaders. I was reading through this one day, just reading through the book of Acts, and I picked up on another characteristic. The burden of my heart was what many men of God, I believe, are crying, whether they do it audibly, but they're doing it in their heart. We use this terminology, just grasping at straws, trying to hold on. And I believe maybe I could feel, I know that Brother Allison pastored for many years, and your pastor here, Brother Mast, I'm sure that these men, but a lot of times, you know, I live and breathe my church. That's my life, is my church. So you may not understand this, but from Wednesday to Sunday morning, from Sunday morning to Sunday night, I'm full of expectation. I want everybody to be there. And I want visitors to come into the church. I want to see the church grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And then when I call for a special meeting, I want everybody to drop everything. And I mean, even if they feel like they're going to die, I want to talk them out of it until the meeting's over. I want them to be there for the meeting. Wait till next Monday and pass away. But you need to stay here for this meeting. I feel that. That sounds funny, but I just feel that urgency. I want everybody to be there. And then somebody comes up and says, you know, my dog's been moping a little bit, and I'm going to have to take it in to the vet. And, I may have to spend, so I may not be here for the next couple of nights, Pastor. And I'm like, let me loan you a 9mm bullet. Fix the dog. Probably offended everybody out there. I don't miss the house of God. Amen. And so I got to reading through the book of Acts, and there was, just through the New Testament, there's some things that you may find unusual, but they popped out to me. And so go with me, if you would please, to Acts 20 and verse number 20. And I want to start reading there, and you can follow along with me in Acts 20 and verse number 20. And the Bible says, here's Paul, and he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. So Paul's saying, as your man of God, I have given you my very best, but have showed you and have taught you publicly. Then I want you to notice this phrase, and from house to house. Now, just log that in your brain and go with me, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 16. The book of Romans and chapter 16. And verse number three. Here's what Paul says. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Now, if you're a member of this church, you need to mark that and highlight that, because Priscilla and Aquila were examples about how involved and how diligent they were to the man of God and to the church and the ministry, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, notice now, follow with me, likewise greet the church that is in their house. All right, now go with me to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 16. This is another reference to Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, so we're going to 1 Corinthians and chapter 16, verse number 19. So the Bible says, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Go with me to Colossians, the book of Colossians, if you would please. Colossians and chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Go with me to Philemon, if you would please. Philemon and verse number 2. There's just one chapter, so verse number 2. And to our brother, Aphaia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So I got burdened one day. I was just reading, and I thought about that, because I'd read through that before, and it was kind of like the Lord spoke to my heart, and maybe you get some help from this tonight. So I'm trying to exhort you about the local church. The reason that our spirit and our zeal is dying in this day about the local church is because the local church is missing from the house. It's missing from the house. Now, literally, I believe that those references about the church in the house had to do literally with the location where the church was meeting at. Because in the early church, they didn't have buildings like this. They went from house to house, and they gathered together. The church is the body of believers. Amen. This is a nice facility, but this building is not the church. It is the body of believers. So they didn't have this in the early church. So they would go from house to house. So I'm just trying to use that phrase as a type in the picture. You see, the establishment, the heart, the zeal, the dedication, the love for the church has to be established in home before it is founded actually in the gathering of the church. It has to be at the house. Amen. Am I making any sense tonight? It has to, if it's missing at home, it'll be missing here. If it's a light thing, if it's spoken of about in the sense of something that is a fretful thing, something that gets in the way of our schedules, something that wearies us, that frets our mind, that is something that is, you know, my wife and I, we get in the car and we ride, and sometimes I just get kind of whiny tailed, you know, and I say, I just don't understand. Why weren't they here? And they've known about this meeting, and I've announced this, and And I just don't understand. And my wife said something one time that I've never forgot. She said, honey, she said, we're in a day now when if you can think about what a totem pole or whatever, it's like the church, the local church, is on the bottom of the list. It's on the bottom of the priority list. I mean the Smoky Mountains and vacations and going to the coast and going to national parks and pulling the RV and having family in and going and visiting, going to family reunions and work and overtime and people being tired and everything that you can imagine seems to hold a higher priority. Well, listen, that starts at home. The zeal for the house of God has to be established at home. Dealing with the tongue about the church has to be dealt with at home. Amen. It's good. At the years I've pastored, I've got some hot messages about the tongue. Amen. And gossip and backbiting. And I can preach that. But listen, in your own personal life, and it has to be established at home. I love preaching on Father's Day. I'm not usually one that picks a special, what we call a holiday or special day, and builds a message on it. But this past Father's Day, I cleaned house. I mean, I took the men and there was nothing left but guts and gallbladders everywhere by the time I got done. I mean, I plastered them. And it felt good doing it. I loved it. I just loved it. I get so upset at the irresponsibility of men today. And we're failing in the local church. Amen. I don't ever believe that a man ought to be cocky or smart or speak to his wife in an unloving way. But I do think that it's the responsibility of men to point out to their wives about overmuch talking about subjects. And while I'm getting on the ladies, the men need to watch their tongue. Amen. Amen. Can some ladies give me an amen there? Hey, boy, that was the best amen I've had all week. And you need to watch your children. Amen. And listen, now with all the technology about Facebook and texting, it's been one of the most detrimental things to the local church. So everything about our zeal and our love for the church must be established in the home. So then I asked myself a question. I'm trying to watch my time here. I don't want to overstep my boundary here for Brother Keith. And so anyway, I asked myself a question. So why is it not at the house? All right, I'm going to give you a few things quickly. It's not at the house. It's not at the church because it's not at the house. It's not at the house because it's not in the heart. It's just not in the heart. And we're going to have to get it in the heart. I fell in love with the local church when I got saved. And here again, I'm not manifesting me as an accomplished Christian. I want to be. I believe that's my goal. But I've failed miserably. And I'm not proud of that. But I always want to improve and be better. But when I got saved, I never did like church. Raised in a Christian home, I went because my parents made me go. And I think a lot of times what we're seeing in young people turning into young adults, and all of a sudden they're making an exodus. They're just leaving. They don't like it anymore. It's because all of their convictions about church and standards of righteousness have been underneath the thumb of parents. And if you don't get it in your heart, and the day I got saved, and I'm not magnifying me, but I got it in my heart. Amen. It come in my heart. I immediately changed my habits because I wanted to be back at church. Right. Saved on Sunday morning, back on Sunday night. I think I mentioned it one night, but I was going to a tech school down in Hickory. Well, I could have gone down there after I got saved on Sunday. I could have gone down there and not bothered for Wednesday night.
But I'll tell you something, on that Wednesday, I came home from classes, I got me a shower, I put on the best clothes I had, and I was rooming with a buddy in a little trailer. He was studying at this technical school in auto mechanics. I was studying to be an electrician, and he came in and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to the same place you're going." He said, "Well, where am I going?" I said, "You're going to get ready and you're going with me to prayer meeting somewhere. He said, "I'm not going to." I said, "Get in there and get ready. We're going to go to prayer meeting." And so he got ready and he said, "Well, where do we go?" I said, "I don't really know where we're going to go down here. I'm not up there at my home church." I said, "All I know I do is I got to find a Baptist church somewhere." And so we just drove down the road, and there was 3 or 4 cars in a parking lot of a Baptist church. We walked in the auditorium. It was dark. There was nobody in, but I could hear voices. And so we just walked around, and we kept finding, and finally we pushed the door open, and the pastor had a handful of people. I think they thought we'd come to hold them up. They looked at us, and the pastor said, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, I mean, we just wanted to come to church." "Oh, well, come in and sit down." And you know what? I thought, man, that's the deadest mess I've been in my life. But I tell you what, I left there and I felt good in my heart, because I would have felt terrible. I mean, I only been saved a few days, but I would have felt terrible if I laid out of church on Wednesday night. Amen. I would have felt just terrible about that. And so it's missing in the heart. Go with me, if you would, please, back to Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 46, Acts 2, verse number 46. "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." That singleness of heart simply means unworldly simplicity. That's what that means. Unworldly simplicity. So they were gathering together and they were doing it with joy, and the highlight of their life was to come together in the fellowship of a body of believers and worship God and fellowship and let the men of God preach to them. Amen. And y'all with me? Chapter number 4, verse number 32. Chapter 4, verse number 32. "And the multitude of them that believed were of what? One heart and of one soul." I can't believe this was a Baptist church. "But neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." So they come together. They're of one heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If your heart is not falling in love with this place, and I'm preaching to Old Pass Baptist Church. I had to stop to think about where I was at. Old Pass Baptist Church. If your heart, then your heart is not right with God. You need to get your heart right to where you fall in love with this local body of believers and the man of God that is over this body of believers. Amen. Get in tune with him. Get in tune with him. And just everything that you have. We started camp meeting years ago, and then I had to stop it, and for it's a long story, but we started back a few years ago, but camp meeting was all new for our church. And I just had to go over everything. We're going to be feeding everybody. I tell you to bring food. And so we had some ladies that couldn't get the picture. I had one lady sign up to bring green beans every meal. The first meal she walked in, she had a bowl like this. We had 200 people to feed. She had a bowl of green beans like this. And I looked at that and I said, What is that? She said, "I've signed up to bring green beans." And green beans. I said, If just your family ate those beans, you don't have enough beans there. I said, we've got 200 people to feed. So it's every aspect. But all that means everything to me. I don't know how to cook, but if God puts in my heart to have a meeting, I want everything. I said, if you sign up for green beans, I want you to get a pickup truck. And I want you to bring enough green beans to put in the bed of that pickup truck. That's the amount of food I want you to bring to camp meeting. I've had, my wife's over there nodding her head. I've had to redo the kitchen. I've had to go over the food. I've had to meet with the ladies and say, you know who the boss of this kitchen is? It's me. I'm the boss of the kitchen. And so, you know, everything, because the local church is in my heart. God has called me to that church. Am I making any sense tonight? And so the people have to get with the pastor about the local church. Amen? So the reason it's not in their house, the reason it's not here, it's not in their house. It's not in the house because it's not in the heart. Now listen to me. It's not in their heart. It's not in their head. Now our head has to do with our responsibility. Think. Mark your calendars. Sign up for things. Think about men. Think about the maintenance. Ladies, think about the cleaning. Think about the cooking. Church, think about the sinners. Amen? Is that not what this is here for? This is here for the saints to gather together and worship. But God has given the responsibility of ministry to the local church. Seeing sinners get saved. Amen. Amen. Now, I know that you believe and I believe and we all believe in an indigenous church. That means we take our orders directly from God. Amen. He is our authority. We don't go through corporations and answer to other men. We answer to God. And the man of God has got a great responsibility. He needs so much prayer. You need to make notes about praying for your church. Hello? Make notes about praying for your church. You need to make notes. Remember to pray for your pastor studying. For to keep the powers of Satan off of him. He needs liberty. Amen. That's right. That's right. Boy. There's so much to preach here, preacher. But I'm saying, listen. I know nothing about your pastor's business. But praise God. I'll just say this. Praise God for men that will not try to measure up in their brain about keeping the pastor right on the borderline of his physical needs. But to make sure that weight is not on him.
That's right.
And take that off of him. God has placed you here for that purpose. Amen. And that is a responsibility. And I know that makes him feel a little uncomfortable for me to say that. But I'm just simply, I praise God. I praise God for my deacons. I've got two. But they're all the time. Just watching over, especially the older deacon in my church. He has been a great, like a dad to me. Dad to me. He's helped me to get in a house that we could call our own. He's walked over to my house before. He lives next door. He's walked over there, looked at my vehicle in the driveway, and said, these tires look worn. I said, they're okay. They'll last. He said, no, they're too bad. You go get a set of Michelins. He said, don't argue with me. He said, go down there this week and get, hey, praise God for it. Listen, I'm not one of these guys that sits around and tries to lavish gifts and things at me. But you know what? Praise God that God puts men like that in the church. That is the responsibility of the people. Amen. That's right. Amen. Y'all better start saying amen. I'm going to be here to midnight. I mean, listen, and say, you know, I've got a lot of scripture here, but let me just mention these things and I'm going to sit down. But you're not thinking. Think. Use your noggin. Stop trying to think about video games and TV programs and vacations and overtime and other stuff you can buy. Think about your church. You've got a place here. If you're a member of this church, you have a responsibility in this church. And everybody can do something. Everybody can pray. Everybody can be faithful. You can find a place, something for you to do in the house of God. And be faithful for that. Amen? And try to get sinners to come to church. And listen, I'm just telling you, you need to listen to your pastor. His heartbeat is for the church to grow, for the church to come together and to be strong and to grow in grace and knowledge and see souls saved. When there's a revival meeting called, a Bible conference, a special conference on the home or in prophecy or whatever, this is the utmost importance. I have a man, and this is unusual. I got a man in my church and Brother Allison, I called for a revival meeting the end of June. And I called it, I wouldn't say it was real abrupt, but I really didn't give a whole lot of time in consideration for my people. It was 5 nights. I felt like God put it on my heart. 5 nights. So I had to pick up one of the men and we were riding together. I think my son was with me. We were riding together and we got to talking about things. And this particular man, we got off on the subject of the revival. And he said, preacher, you know, my friend, my buddy, and this man's wife has died. He said, my buddy, and he called his name. And I said, yeah. And he said, He offered for me to go on a vacation with him and all of his family and said we were going to the Grand Canyon and we were going to leave on Friday of the meeting. And he said, I called him and told him to cancel all my deposits and reservations. And Brother Allison, for a brief moment there, it came up right to here. And I wanted to say to him, well, it's just the last day of the meeting. And I think it would be all, and it was just like the Holy Ghost went, he said, don't you say that. That was in that man's heart, that he wasn't even going to miss the last day of the meeting and canceled the whole thing. Oh, it's quiet. But you know what? Not everybody's like that. And I understand. And I'm not kicking anybody. But I'm here to tell you, to show you an example of responsibility. If we don't get a revival of responsibility for the local church, this building might be a gift shop one day.
Right. Yeah, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. So you say, well, I'll just drift off somewhere. But where are these little children going to go? Where are these little children going to go? When it's not in your head, it's not in your hearing. When it's not in your hearing, it fails to show up in your hands. You're not putting your hands to the work. You're not putting your hands. Thank God Nehemiah had some men that put their hands with the leader and said, we'll help you clean the rubbish. We'll help you chip off the old mortar. We'll help you lift the stones. We'll clean off the foundation. We will put your hands with what God has put in your heart, and we're going to rebuild the walls of this city. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Am I putting you to sleep, or are you listening? It takes that. And the reason it's not in the church, it's not in their heart. It's not in their head. It's not in their hearing. It's not in their hands. When it's not in any of that, there is no hope. No hope. You know, nobody, and I'm using that word hope in a sense of expectation. How many people come to church now with expectation? Expectation. Well, there's probably not going to be anybody saved today. We're probably going to have about 20% out of church. We're probably just going to go through the same old humdrum stuff. And that's the way most people come to church. There's no hope. There's no expectation. You don't have to maintain that very long. You're going to be out of church. You're going to be out of church. Amen. And I'm telling you something. Listen, the reason our commitment and dedication and love for this place is not here, it's missing from our heart. We need to get our hearts right with God about our local church. I thank God for the church. Amen. I don't say this boastfully. It's nothing but the grace of God. I don't know how to raise children. My wife and I don't know how. But this Bible teaches us how to do it. But I'm thankful by the grace of God that my three children have been saved. My daughter's laboring with her husband. He's pastoring a church. My grandchildren are in church. My oldest son has never been married. He's like a right-hand man to me in my church. Faithful. My other son, he's going to another, and it's a good church. A good church. His whole family's in church. He's like a right-hand man to his pastor. And we need a bunch of men to purpose to be right-hand men to the church. Amen. We need a bunch of ladies to get in the church. That's right. Has it ever occurred to you that your pastor's wife could use a flower and a nice card or a gift card or just an embrace and say, "Sister, I know that being a wife of a man of God must have a lot of spiritual weight. And I just want you to know I appreciate your faithfulness and your love and your example." You ladies need to say this and say to your pastor's wife, "Your example is a great asset to my life." Amen. Amen. Man, I'd love to preach on this all night long. Just leave guts and gallbladders everywhere.